everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend, engineer, producer, Bob Dio, on the other side of the glass. He may be on the other side of the glass, but together we certainly are one in welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show on our midweek edition. It is April 11th, and we are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, a very powerful radio station. You can pretty much pick up our station. Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've heard, all over, up to Phoenix, I've heard us, all the way over to New Mexico. So pretty good, as they say, Bob, a good footprint, right?
Yes, and we also have lots of listeners on the World Wide Web, as you know, too, and
we
your
do.
Website.
The website, buckmastershow.com, where people really only need to be around a computer, plug it in, and we've got our live stream. People can hear this program then anywhere in the world, and of course, kvoi.com, and we're pretty darn good about putting up every show we have done since I started the radio program in January of 2011. They are all archived, very easy to use, all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040, if you have a question or comment. The first half hour of the program, we have the privilege and honor of welcoming to the Buckmaster Show the new bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Tucson. He is Bishop Edward Weisenberger, and he comes to Tucson. He was ordained, actually, into the priesthood in 1987. He comes to Tucson from the Diocese of Salina, Kansas. He was there since 2012, installed as the new bishop here in Tucson, Thanksgiving week at the St. Augustine Cathedral. Bishop, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, and I really appreciate the invitation to be here. Thank you.
And I bet a lot of people mispronounce Salina.
Yeah, for some reason, I think it's the California Salinas thing.
Yeah. And you actually are from that neck of the woods, growing up in Oklahoma. You spent, I believe your family had some time there in nearby Hays, Kansas, right?
My mother was originally from north central Kansas, a tiny little village of Catherine, Kansas, less than 100 people today. But when I became bishop in Salina, it covered that territory. So in a sense, it took me back to the place of my roots. My father was 30 years in the military, a helicopter pilot and a flight instructor. He was in World War II, Korean conflict, and flew helicopters for 2 years in Vietnam when I was 4 for a year and when I was 7 for a year. So guys would always put their family in a safe place. My dad moved us back to my mother's home area of Hays, Kansas.
Which is probably the geographical center, or darn close to it, Bishop, of the United States.
We called it the heart.
It is. It is. Good people in Kansas, certainly. So you had not been to Arizona until this calling from the Catholic Church, and those decisions really are made in Rome, are they not?
Or yes. Yes, they're fairly well made in Rome, and I like to laugh and tell people, until I was assigned to come to Tucson, I don't think I was ever even on a plane that flew over Arizona. So my first visit, the day of the appointment, was in September. It was the first time I got off the plane. I was met by Bishop Kakanis, but it was a marvelous welcome that I received.
Hey, are those mountains there?
Incredible.
Mountains on all sides. We're very blessed here in Tucson to have all the mountains around us. You bring up Bishop Kakanis. He's been a very good friend to this radio show and a wonderful person. And he has not gone away. He is still active. And one thing that we want to bring up, Bishop, is that it is a mandatory retirement in the Catholic Church at age 75 for bishops, correct?
That is correct. Bishops and priests, both in universal law, there's an obligation. There's a little twist to it that people don't always readily understand, but it was really in the 1950s and 60s with the advent of better health care, we began living longer. And so the church instituted retirement not as a benefit for the individual, but to protect the community. There were so many elderly bishops and priests demanding to remain at the helm And that wasn't always good for the diocese or for the particular parish. So actually, the way the law reads, I'm a canonist myself, mm-hmm. the way the law reads is you have an obligation to offer to retire at 75. Mm. Your superior makes the decision. Mm. So normally for bishops, it's almost always accepted at 75.
Mm. But certainly these days, 75 is probably the new Bob, should I say 55? No, maybe not 55. 65? Okay, trim 10 years off. But certainly people are very active and
well,
working.
Well, Bishop Kakanis, he has not slowed down at
no,
all.
No, he hasn't. He's
doing marvelous work for the church.
He has a national appointment that he's
He does.
Involved with,
yeah. He was elected to be the bishop in charge of the NCEA, which is the National Catholic Education Association. So it's requiring him to continue his travels and his speaking and bring his wonderful insights about education all around the nation.
The footprint of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Tucson is huge, not just geographically, but there are, I believe, 75 or so parishes.
We have 78 parishes, 78. And it spans 54,000 square miles. Until I believe it was the 1960s, when the Phoenix Diocese was created, prior to that time, all of Arizona was one diocese.
Mm. And within that diocese are approximately 450,000 Catholics.
Yes.
And what about the priorities as you have been out and about in the last since your installation? What are you hearing from parishioners, or is it kind of like each diocese has, or each parish has different needs, I'm sure, but is there sort of an undercurrent of things that should be done and need to be done?
What you just said is very critically true. Every parish, it's like all your children. They all have such different interests, needs, and makeups. So each parish has its own personality and character. One of the issues that we're dealing with a lot is, I think most people in Arizona know that Maricopa County is one of the fastest growing in the nation, if not the fastest. Mm-hmm. But there are some projections for population that indicate that Pima County, within 20 years, could rival that. And the population sprawl that's coming south from Phoenix right now is really impacting those communities. And because it impacts communities and it involves a movement of peoples, it can't help but not impact the church. And so we're looking at all times at where we need to be thinking about building new parishes. And they're going to be big parishes because these housing communities are springing up and they're huge.
The Hispanic population in Arizona has been growing as well. Some of the figures I've seen as many, I believe the Hispanic population in Arizona is more than one-third now. I think it may even be up to about 40%. And predominantly, these people are Catholics.
Absolutely. And they bring incredible richness of an understanding of the faith. One of the things I've always loved about the Hispanic culture, and I worked with Hispanic Catholics probably more so in Oklahoma than Kansas, immigrant peoples always follow the economy, and there was much more in the economy in Oklahoma for Hispanic peoples. But one of the things I've always loved is referred to by theologians as the ludic dimension, L-U-D-I-C, the ludic dimension. That's the ability to rise above the sufferings of today and really celebrate and really rejoice in your faith. We Anglos are not quite so good at that. When we're in crisis, when things are not going well, it's hard for us to rise above and really celebrate God's love for us. But it's one of the many, many gifts that the Hispanic community brings to our church.
I am sure you're very troubled about the Dreamers situation.
I am indeed.
Tell me so.
I think the average American, I honestly believe, has a really prudent sense, a really fair sense of fairness itself. In fact, I think when we go back to our founding fathers and mothers of this nation, they wanted ordinary people to be the judges. They wanted them to be the jury of trials. They wanted them to be their political leaders because they really wanted us to hold on to that common sense, which is becoming more and more uncommon, I fear. All the time. But that common sense, and I think the average American today can look at the situation of the Dreamers and say, we have to respond to this situation fairly. These are good, decent people contributing in marvelous ways to our economy, to our culture. They're here. They're very much a part of the fabric of our lives. And to send them off to countries where they oftentimes have no or little, if any, background or life to return to because they never really had a life there. They were brought here as small children. None of this is really making much sense. In fact, I worry a lot. It's really a bigger issue of just the whole rhetoric around immigrants and immigration. There's a dehumanizing rhetoric. And I really think as faithful Americans, we really have to look at that and be careful.
All right. We'll pick up on that theme after we take our break. But before we hear from our recorded messages, I want to tell all of our listeners about our newest partner, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. It is lunchtime, and up at Mona's, they are doing a beautiful sandwich at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and the bread that you will be enjoying with that sandwich came out of the oven a couple of hours ago. Steve gets up very early to do his baking, and I also suggest for dessert one of my favorites, one of the brownies up there. So if you're out and about, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link not only to Mona's, but all of our fine partners here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the noon hour on my Buckmaster radio program, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Plus, we'll talk with former Congressman Ron Barber. Buckmaster airing live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show. Temperatures, my goodness, yesterday, I know, 96 degrees, I believe, tied a record for the date. We can look for pretty much the same today. That means Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, looks really good right about now and for maybe a weekend getaway. 3 hours from Tucson, basically, and it's 15 degrees cooler. So what do you, there's so many great opportunities, hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City. The Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument is just north of Silver City. No shortage of things to do. The full listing of great places to stay and things to do on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our discussion with the new bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Tucson. He is Bishop Edward Weisenberger, and he was installed November 29th at St. Augustine Cathedral in downtown Tucson. He succeeds retiring Bishop Gerald Kakanis. And Bishop, before the break, we were talking about this feeling among some, and it's sad because there is definitely an anti-immigrant feeling in this country right now. What do you think that is? Where's that coming from? What's at the root of that?
I'm not entirely certain. I wish I had a clear answer for that. I guess people being interviewed on radios should have better answers.
Oh, you All always have to have an answer. No, Bishop. Saying I don't know is very honest.
Well, but I'm a bishop, so I'm not going to stop talking.
No.
So what I would say
is
in the Catholic world, we tend to look at things from what we call the paradigm of life. And just as we see the face of Christ in the unborn child, for instance, we also see the face of Christ in the person who might wish to suicide. We see the face of Christ in the poor, in the hungry. We see it in all those who are marginalized in any way. And in a sort of seamless garment approach, it's been referred to at times, we certainly see the face of Christ in the immigrant. I went down to Nogales. We have Father Sean Carroll, a Jesuit priest. He runs the Kino Border Initiative. They're really not advocating political matters much at all. What they really just do is they've set up a house across the border, and as people are being brought by our government representatives and deposited on the Mexico side of the border, these people are quite literally in shock, and they're traumatized. I was in the comedor, the dining room there where they first allow people to come in who are suddenly finding themselves in Mexico with no one and nowhere to go, and they're in shock. And I saw them. I saw them coming in, and it was impossible for me not to recognize Christ in them. I'm so proud of our Catholic world that we're reaching out with a lot of friends. We're not doing it alone. But the fact that we're reaching out to these people and simply helping them, and in many instances, it's as little as giving them 2 or 3 days of safety where women won't be assaulted, where we can make contact with family, where we can get them connected again. But I'm so glad we're doing those things. It's one of the many, many small things that we're doing in the Catholic world, trying to make a difference, because we recognize the face of Christ in these people.
Catholic education is a very big deal in the district, 25 Catholic schools approximately.
Correct.
And they're doing well, I understand.
They're doing quite well, and I'm very, very impressed. One of the schools is right behind my house, St. Augustine High School, and I was looking. They break down in our Catholic schools office all kinds of demographic issues and statistics, and I was looking, and I noted that of the students there, approximately 90% of the students do not have either parent who has ever gone to any college at all, but 90% of our graduates are going on to college. The difference that we're making in so many lives, and these are not all Catholic kids either, we take who comes pretty much, but the difference that we're making through our schools continues to be, I think, really profound, not just for our church, but for our whole culture and our state.
As I recall, in fact, I know in my 30 years here in town, there was a time when the diocese was in some severe financial trouble. In fact,
oh, yes.
As I recall, this diocese here actually went into bankruptcy.
Oh, yes, yeah. As several dioceses have.
Yeah.
The abuse of minors, scandal and crisis, whatever term we want to use for that, and they're all appropriate on some level. Yes, in order to respond in an appropriate way to the victims of that, the only appropriate way that everybody would get something was to go through bankruptcy. Otherwise, one or two would get everything and the others would get nothing. So the diocese went through a very, very painful bankruptcy. But following that, I think, and the wonderful leadership of Bishop Gacanus and our priests in the parish and the wonderful response of our Catholic people, we're getting ourselves reestablished again.
And downtown Tucson, we've had a tremendous revitalization. It's really one of the big economic stories, Bishop Weisenberger, that we have had in my 30 years here in town, the turnaround of our downtown area. And the Catholic Church is playing a role in that.
We're playing a substantial and a wonderful role. We had an old, old deteriorating building next to our cathedral. And we, working with the city and all the proper codes and all those regulations, that was removed, and we're building a really marvelous building which will do really three needs. The first floor is going to take care of all of our offices for the cathedral parish itself. The second floor will be a gathering space. We've never had this before in our diocese, where we can have, I believe it's up to 700 people at a stand-up event. We can do 500 people at a sit-down around table events, so we can do education events, we can do all kinds of gatherings, we can host parish events there. And then the top two floors will be our diocesan offices, our chancery. So it's going to bring everything together under one roof. But the architecture is marvelous. It's blending in beautifully with the downtown area.
And the restoration of the two-story Adobe Maris College.
Yeah, the tallest Adobe structure still standing, I believe, in this county.
And that is being restored.
Marvelous, beautiful building.
So did you always want to be a priest, or how did all that happen?
I'm the rare story. My story used to be common, but now it's rare. From the time I was a little boy, my sisters always told me I would have starved if they hadn't taken me in the seminary because I had no backup plan.
There was no plan B?
There was no plan B. It was priest or bust.
Oh, my goodness.
So I went off to the seminary after high school, and I had good high school years. I had a wonderful family. No, never any pressure to go to the seminary, but my family encouraged me to do whatever I wanted to do. I had a marvelous sense of freedom about it. I kind of think, when I think back on my childhood, my parents loved their faith. They loved the church. They frequently had priests into the home for dinner. We got to know them, and they were sort of my heroes from my early childhood, and they remain my heroes.
Well, it's a terrific story, and we look forward to having you back on the program, and looking forward to you as a outstanding citizen of our community. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation to be here.
Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Bishop Edward Weisenberger. He was installed November 29th at St. Augustine Cathedral in downtown Tucson, and he is the bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Tucson. Coming up on 12:30, now on the Buckmaster Show, what is going to happen now with teachers here? We will speak with Dustin Williams. He is the Pima County Superintendent of Schools. He is our next guest on the Buckmaster Show as we pretty much hit exactly 12:30.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamee Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, 13 acres over at 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack, the owners, took over this property that was basically 4 acres. They have done so much there, expanded it. 33 greenhouses alone? Yeah, on 13 acres. And they do these free workshops, not just weekends. They've expanded it now for gardeners. Go to the website, greenthingsaz.com, has the full listing of what's coming up, and gardeners love, and they should, because you get a lot of great information. Just west of the Brandy Fenton Park is the Green Things location. Teachers in Tucson and throughout southern Arizona joined their colleagues across Arizona today wearing red, and they walked arm in arm this morning to show solidarity in their demand for higher pay. Today's walk-ins took place before class. It's all part of this Red for Ed movement that was organized and is organized by the Arizona Educators United, a group pushing for a 20% raise and more than $1 billion in new school funding. Let's welcome now Pima County School Superintendent Dustin Williams is with us. Superintendent Williams, how are you?
I'm great, terrific. Glad to be on and glad to be with your listeners.
Well, I wanted to get you on the program today on rather short notice, but this is a big story. And it's interesting because when you were with us about a month ago, it was right before the first Red for Ed walk.
That's correct. We actually sat here, and at the end of the conversation, we talked about wearing Red for Ed on Wednesdays, and in 1 month time, we have seen this thing explode.
And you have just received a notification that at this hour, the governor is meeting with some county school superintendents. You were not invited, I understand.
I was not invited.
I'm
not on that list.
Why.
I want to get on that list.
Yeah.
So if the governor's out there listening, I'd love to be at that table. But I think it was just a preliminary meeting, and hats off to the governor for having this meeting with leaders in our community. Again, I'd like to be on there, but as long as we have people at the table and the governor's willing to listen, that's important because we want to get the communication going, and we need to do some things, and we need to do it quickly so that we can somehow try to avoid a full-blown out strike.
Well, and the governor said yesterday, according to Howard Fisher at Capital Media Services, that he will not meet with leaders of the two teacher groups to talk about salaries and other related issues. So I presume that the meeting he's having right now at the state capitol is with folks that are on the administrative end and not necessarily the teachers group people.
Right. It looks like it's leaders, superintendents of either district schools and possibly some county superintendents. I literally just got the email. The goal out of there, they came up with a kind of an idea, which is restore respect and revenue stream. That's the idea that they're looking at, trying to figure out what they can do and looking at this entire picture of education, because when we talk about the teacher's salaries, that is a large part of this. But the entire picture of education is the discussion that we need to be having, from counselors, parapros, bus drivers. Even the burden with Proposition 206 with the minimum wage increase, what that does on districts too. So it's the dialogue of the whole picture is what's very, very important here.
And before this Red for Ed movement, Dustin Williams, the budget in Phoenix, the lawmakers were talking about a 1% pay raise this coming year on top of a 1% increase for the current school year. That's not going to cut it with these teachers and supporters who are out there in the Red for Ed day.
You know, it's been called a slap in the face is what you hear in the communities. And the problem is you have a teacher working as hard as they are all day long, and they get a one-year salary of approximately $350. So to the teachers and to a lot of the community, they say, is that the investment that's going to motivate and drive people to come into a profession or want to stay in a profession? And you're seeing that it isn't with our teacher vacancies, which are over 2,000 as we speak, with teacher, you know, first-year teachers, one out of five leave in the first year. Regular teachers right now flocking to other states. And now we have a full-blown hashtag Red for Ed movement that is about to have teachers walking out of schools.
Well, school year ends in 6 weeks. So what would the impact be of a teacher walkout at this point, Dustin?
It would be devastating to a community. First and foremost, we want to think about the kids, and we've got to think about the safety of the students. If we don't have people in these schools to monitor these students and take care of them, then you're going to have to close the school. And then second of all, we put the question back onto the community. What are you going to do with your child while you're at work?
Right.
So, you know,
this is the potential, and I hope I don't want to underplay it, but this is the potential of an emergency.
I'd say it's in that realm. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I agree with you, Bill.
What is your position? How many students are we talking about? Public school students, well, not the charter schools aren't public, but in the that are not charter, give me some idea how many students are in Pima County.
So approximately 150,000 students in Pima County alone.
Does that include charters?
Yes, that does.
Which is public.
Yep, they're public schools. It's public funding. They're a part of this whole thing as well.
Are they a part? You know, I don't hear much about the charters being involved in this Red for Ed thing, but is it your feeling that some of them are?
Yeah, you know, it's speckled in and out. Mainly the driving part of this are the district schools, but there are some charter schools that are participating very much. Recently, there was a big walkout at City High, which is a wonderful charter school downtown. And the students did it in an organized way, and it was done, obviously, after school and in a safe manner. So there are charter schools participating in this movement.
So where do we go from here? And now one of your roles as Pima County School Superintendent, your interaction with all of the school district superintendents.
Correct.
So I imagine you're on the phone and meeting with these people about, hey, what happens if there's a walkout?
That is the topic of conversation, right. And we meet often. The superintendents in this county are top-notch, mm-hmm. and they start devising plans, and they start looking ahead. And then we start working with our community leaders, Executive Director of Arizona Schools Administrators, Mark Jornestan, and they talk about the plans, the what-ifs, so what are the protocols, even setting up the phone messaging to the parents. And you're seeing this movement build and build and build. And so the community now is starting to say, hey, is this about to happen? And it looks like it's getting pretty close to actually happening. So these conversations are daily. There's a team right now literally got a text message about 5 minutes ago. The governor's office is meeting on all these topics as we speak.
Well, I'm curious, Dustin Williams, about how many this is a right-to-work state. So there are all sorts of implications here of teachers that do walk out, whether they could be terminated. I mean, what are some of your thoughts on that?
That's a great question. Yeah. So a lot of these teachers are in salary contracts.
Okay.
So
and you're a former teacher, for folks who don't know. I mean, before you became Pima County Superintendent of Schools, you were in the classroom.
Absolutely. That's my blood.
Yeah.
Educator first.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. The students have, or the teachers have contracts.
Okay.
So when you're locked in a contract, you do have some safety. And so if a teacher were to walk out, and you're talking about thousands of teachers, it's going to be very difficult for a district or any sort of educational organization to fire these teachers. I mean, then what are you going to do? You know, how could you do that? So at this, the teachers would probably have to get some sort of reprimand, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But also to fire a teacher, I mean, that's done by the board, this, you know, the local school district. So that would all have to be board approved as well. You can't just go in and fire a teacher. So they have some leverage.
But I think it's safe to say it would be a mess because you have schools that perhaps would have to close their doors, and the schools the school year isn't over. So at some point, that time is going to have to be made up.
That's correct.
Yeah.
What we want to do is we do not want this to happen. What we want is the governor to act quickly and get dollars.
What is your message right now to the governor's office?
Governor, first of all, I would love to meet one-on-one, face-to-face at your office. Number two is we need a plan and we need it immediately and something that's going to be sustainable so that we can get these teacher salaries to the national average. And let's start talking $50,000 a year for these teachers.
All right, there it is. Dustin Williams, thanks for coming in on real short notice to the program. But this is so important. Emergency meeting going on right now at the governor's office as the potential of a teacher's strike in Arizona. That threat is growing really by the hour, isn't it?
It is. It is as we speak right now.
All right, Dustin, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, and thanks to your listeners.
All right, 1245, Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Big event for animal lovers in our community, animal welfare advocates, of which I am one, a proud member. Adopt Love, Adopt Local is a one-day mega adoption animal fair designed to help hundreds of our community's homeless animals. And today is actually very serendipitous to have and be talking about this subject, because it is National Pet Adoption Day. So it's perfect timing to have Kelly Huber on the program. Kelly is Director of Strategic Grants and Initiatives for the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Kelly, how are you?
I'm great, and thank you so much for all of your support of the animals and the people in our community.
The animals certainly deserve all of our respect. And let's talk a little bit about how this has evolved, Kelly, and really the role. The Community Foundation for Southern Arizona was really there from day one, pretty much, weren't you?
That is true. So our Community Foundation is a wonderful place that cares about our people and our pets in our community. And they have been part and have been hosting the initiative, the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, for many years now. And one of the events from this initiative that started was Adopt Love, Adopt Local. And we're now in our fourth year of holding this mega animal adoption event.
Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, known as PAW, is a unique coalition designed to collaboratively improve the welfare of animals in Pima County. And this is really a big deal for volunteers of so many organizations that care about our animals. And really, the idea is to bring many of these animal welfare groups to one location, right? And then folks can come in and it's like one-stop shopping.
That's exactly true. Adopt Love, Adopt Local this year will bring over 21 rescue groups into one building. And it has two outcomes in my mind. The first and most important outcome is to see how many animals we can find new homes for. And then the second outcome is that we bring all the rescue groups into one room to collectively do something together to show that our community really cares about animals.
The venue, the same as last year?
It is correct. It's at the Tucson Expo Center, which is at 3750 East Irvington, between Palo Verde and Alvernon.
And PetSmart Charities, they've been really very much into this. They're the title sponsor, and you are going to have a lot of different groups. Veterinarians are going to be there, animal welfare advocates, local businesses. Anyone who really cares about animals will be at this event. And is this an opportunity where people can pick up the animal, the cat or the dog, and maybe get to know them a little better in an environment that is conducive for them?
So, yes, there'll be many animals on site ready to take home that day. There are groups, for example, our Greyhound Rescue groups, like the Arizona Greyhound Rescue, who will have some animals you can look at and learn about and see if that animal fits your lifestyle. But many of our groups, like the Humane Society and the Pima Animal Care Center, will have lots of furry little friends to take home the day of the event.
Your role as Director of Strategic Grants and Initiative is really an all-encompassing group. at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. What are the latest? Can you give us an update on what's going on with some of your strategic grants, Kelly?
Sure. So we actually just released a grant on April 4th called the Culture of Learning Grant. And our organization wanted to support our nonprofits in the community by giving up to $3,000 per organization to help the education of that organization. At the Community Foundation, they care a lot about our continuing education and staying up to date on national trends. And we wanted to give nonprofits in our community the chance to attend conferences, have a board training, bring in a guest lecturer, anything to help build the education of the nonprofit.
Where does So this has just been opened up, this particular grant round?
It did. So we just opened it up, and I'm sorry I said April 4th. It opened up on April 2nd, and the grants will be due on April 30th. And again, they're up to $3,000 per organization, and you can learn more about that at our website at cfsaz.org and just select the tab Grants, and it'll explain the whole process to you.
Kelly, tell us a little bit about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. What is the mission of CFSA?
Well, we really try to, you know, match donors with causes they care about. But we also really care about how we can support the community as a whole. And we do that in lots of different ways, as you touched on. We do it with our grant making. We do it with our community investments. We do it with our donor advised funds. And our donors really are at the heart of everything that we do because they are what makes up our community.
A donor would come to you and say, I'm very interested in seeing that this, my interest, it's in many ways you're a matchmaker, as I see it, Kelly. You're matching the donor with the interests. And then the nonprofit is going to be the beneficiary.
That is correct. And we help with legacy gifts and lots of other things. So we just encourage anybody who is thinking about how they would like to support the community to give us a call, and we can match you with the right organization and the right plan for your future.
And for our four-legged friends, matching them with a new home would be ideal. Adopt Love, Adopt Local really has taken off since, well, this would be the fourth year. And as it started, I think folks were happy that maybe a couple of dozen animals found new homes, but now that has grown. And last year, I think it was, what, about 140 or so?
It was a little over 150 last year. And since the inception of the event, we've found homes for 400-plus animals. And so we just hope that number doubles every single year.
Are there going to be some activities for the kids as well?
There are. So even if you already have a house full of furry friends, like many of us already do, you can come and, you know, give some of the animals some love, pet some animals, just see the multitude of rescue groups in our community. But there also will be entertainment. We'll have performances by Tucson Canine Freestyle. It's doggy dancing. We'll have the Saguaro.
Doggy dancing. Oh, my goodness.
Doggy dancing.
And up then, on two, up on the hind legs, right?
I think so. And then the Saguaro Scramblers, which is an agility group, will be there at 11 o'clock. And then our police department, both from Tucson Police and our sheriffs from Pima County, will be there. Their canines will do some demonstrations on how they help our community.
And again, folks, it is the Tucson Expo Center. And for those that don't know where that is, Kelly, could you fill us in?
Sure. It is at 3750 East Irvington, and that is between Palo Verde and Alvernon.
So basically, someone comes to the event, they pick out the animal they want, and all the paperwork and such can be done there. Is that correct?
That is correct. Each individual rescue group will do the paperwork with you and get you all set up with licensing. Animal adoptions cost a variety. It costs different amounts depending on which rescue group it is. And but we do ask you to please leave your pets that you have in your house at home.
Don't bring the intermingle the the current resident of the house with perhaps the new one. Yeah, it just gets a little.
We have hundreds of animals in the building, so we ask that you leave your pet at home. But if you'd like to do a meet and greet, that can be arranged that day as well.
All right.
And it's free to come in, and there's free parking.
Great. Kelly Huber, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Kelly is Director of Strategic Grants and Initiatives for an organization that does so much good in this community called the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. And if people want more information about what you do with your grants, is there a website, Kelly, that you would like to direct our listeners to?
Sure. CFSAZ.org is our website, and we encourage you to either call us or email us or visit the website for more information.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Kelly.
You.
Good luck with the Adopt Love, Adopt Local Mega Adoption event this Saturday at the Tucson Expo Center. Thanks. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9 in the morning tomorrow, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, with you tomorrow. We have Councilman Paul Cunningham as our guest tomorrow on the program. So, also, Ron Barber, former congressman, will be with me on the program talking about the 9/11 memorial, an update on that. Have a great afternoon. On behalf of my engineer-producer, Bob Dio, we hope you do have a good afternoon and a great evening.